Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. MacGyver is back. CBS has him, and his return is making CBS's Friday Night Lineup soar. Grammy Zotov joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Santa Fe, New Mexico. What can radio personality say about the current and future of television? Plenty. And one of the best, KABC morning host Don McIntyre will wax plenty over the tube next half hour. Also ahead, Chappelle's new show and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. A very good Thanksgiving week to all of you from all of us at Blog Talk Radio, and welcome once again to the program by television. From a triple header we're offering you this week. We're on today, tomorrow, and Wednesday at the very same hour. 31 degrees at the top of the hour, very windy here in the New York metro area as we speak. We have two wonderful people coming your way in this next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It gets better when you do. So raise your voice, then use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open as well and ready for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our very good friend, Rick Rev from Philadelphia, is already in the room. So whether you use the phone or the room, we will get you aboard. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook's timeline feature. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Lee Zotov will be live with us in Santa Fe after these news notes. Get ready for the return of Dave Chappelle to stand-up television next year. Netflix will offer a triple dose of Chappelle, date to be determined. One of the three specials will be produced especially for Netflix. The other two will be taped from Chappelle's vault. One will be taped in Austin, Texas. The other was taped in Los Angeles. Chappelle did his first TV appearance in years, hosting Saturday Night Live earlier this month. So once again, Netflix will be offering three Dave Chappelle specials, one original, two taped from his vault, next year, date to be determined. And for the very first time, Food Network will do a series premiere on New Year's night, January 1st. The effort, a new season of Worst Cooks in America, hosted by Rachel Ray and Ann Burrell. And there'll be 10 episodes in this batch. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Santa Fe, New Mexico, in radio exclusive, the creator of MacGyver, back now on CBS Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, Lee Zotov. Lee, thanks again for joining us, and happy anniversary, happy Thanksgiving week to you.
Thank you, Simon.
Lee, what do you think of the remake of your show on CBS?
Well, I think it's going along pretty well. Obviously, with any new show, even a reboot, it takes a little while to kind of find the groove, see what's working with the actors and the writing, and I think the show is developing nicely. It's obviously changed a bunch since the premiere episode, but I think it's headed in the right direction, and obviously the numbers on CBS are great, so I guess it's working.
It's leading off the lineup. It's doing very well. The top 25 shows since the premiere 2 months ago. And what's really fascinating about this is that this reboot comes from somebody who has already had a successful reboot. The executive producer is Peter Lenkoff, who did a Y5O 6 years ago. And that's paired back-to-back with your show.
Yeah, I think they brought Peter in because I guess they feel he's got the expertise to really take, you know, a vintage show, so to speak, and bring it back in a fresh way. And I think Peter's doing an amazing job.
Why did you feel it was time to let CBS and Peter and everybody working on this reboot go ahead?
Well, as you know, Simon, I've been in the process of sort of bringing MacGyver back, mostly because I think now more than ever, the idea of finding creative and innovative ways to solve problems, particularly without resorting to firearms, is especially timely. And so I think, I did a comic book series and then a graphic novel and a game, and then we did the next MacGyver competition, you know, and I think all of those things just kind of brought the notion of a character who kind of uses his mind as opposed to his weapon you know, to solve problems. I think it was very, you know, relevant to today and specifically, you know, to what even the country is going through right now, which is we need to find better ways to solve our problems. And so I think that's part of what inspired everybody to want to kind of work on the reboot of MacGyver.
You had Richard Dean Anderson as the original MacGyver. How does the new person playing this role, how does he compare with Anderson? And how does he take the character from different directions?
Well, I would say you can't really compare anybody to Richard Dean Anderson because he was the original MacGyver. And, you know, the fans who've been watching this show around the world for 30 years obviously, you know, have a deep affection and commitment to Richard Dean Anderson. And so obviously it's going to take a little while for a new face to really kind of flesh out that role and make it his own. But, you know, he's a much younger MacGyver than obviously Richard Dean Anderson when he started the show. So I think part of it is about watching this young MacGyver kind of grow into that character and begin in a sort of, you know, kind of newer, fresher place, but really kind of have to kind of develop that sense of both personal responsibility and humility. You know, he's 26 years old, so he thinks he owns the world and he's invulnerable.
And he still gets the chance every week to get himself out of scrapes along with others by using his wits and using his brain.
Well, that's kind of the hallmark of the show. And even there, at the beginning, they had lots of MacGyverisms, and they were kind of going by so fast, you almost couldn't really appreciate them. So now they've kind of cut down, I think, on the number of MacGyverisms per episode, spending a little more time focusing on the characters. And consequently, you know, I think you get to sort of enjoy his ingenuity a little more because it's not happening quite so fast. You can really sort of appreciate it and take it in. And that's part and parcel of why, you know, I'm launching now the MacGyver Secret Book, Connect to Your Inner MacGyver and Solve Anything.
We're going to get to the book in a moment. But firstly, oftentimes when a reboot happens, the original creator will sometimes either get the opportunity to be an executive producer or a consultant. I remember when The Outer Limits was revived on Showtime, one of the keys was that Joseph Stefano, who was the original executive producer of that innovative science fiction anthology series, was brought on as a consultant to the show, executive consultant. He read all the scripts. He also contributed, he remade one or two of his scripts in the original series. Leslie Stevens, who was the creator of the series, later also was born in the same capacity. Did Peter and crew offer you the opportunity to get down to the set, you know, meet the cast, work on scripts, contribute, you know, if you want to do an original script and so forth?
Well, actually, when CBS was putting it together, they approached me to be an executive producer on the show, and I said I would, but obviously they were going to need to find a new showrunner. And when Peter came on, we communicated, and he said, I really want to hear your thoughts. And as a matter of fact, now I'm just about to write a script for the new series. So, you know, so we've begun really kind of, you know, they've been using me as a resource in terms of what do you think, where we were, where we're going, and I think, you know, we've had a number of really productive conversations, and I think they're going in the right direction. So, you know, I'm excited to write an episode for them and see how it goes. Obviously, I don't live in Los Angeles or Atlanta where they're shooting the show, but I'm sure at some point I will find my way to the set, and then I'll get to meet everybody who's working on it.
You're hearing Lee Zoltoff. He is the creator of MacGyver. Had a wonderful run in the original version with Richard Dean Anderson on ABC. And now it is back with all new cast and crew on CBS Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And Lee has a brand new book out about the character and about brain power and how they connect. And it's called The MacGyver Secret. We'll talk about that shortly. If you have a question or a comment for Lee, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Lee is with us this first half hour of our Tomorrow Televised Triple Header. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, three episodes back to back to back, all in this very same time period. And coming your way tomorrow, we'll kick it off with the executive producer of the brand new hit series from Pop starring Allie Wentworth. It's Nightcap, all about the world of, guess what, late night television. And executive producer Brad Wallach will join us. Then we'll meet a woman who's carved out a new career as a tech tipster. A tipster who works with local television stations around the country, their newscast, and gives them tips about apps and technology. Her name is Francie Black, and the project is called Tech Tango Today. I had a chance to meet her a couple of weeks ago here in New York at NAB's conference at the Jacob Javits Center, and we'll have her live. Plus, Hallmark Hall of Fame is returning this Saturday night on the Hallmark Channel. It's the first of the acclaimed series just for that network, and it's a big one. It's called The Heavenly Christmas. It's got a marvelous cast. From Sex and the City, Kirsten Davis. From Will and Grace, Erin McCormick. And the Luminous, Shirley MacLaine. We got the executive producers of this latest Hallmark Hall of Fame Channel movie. It's Jack Wilsport and Linda Kent. It's all coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Lee, how long did you thought about writing this book, The MacGyver Secret?
Say again, Simon?
How long did you thought about writing The MacGyver Secret?
Oh, so this book kind of started about 4 or 5 years ago. I developed a specific creative process that worked for me for creative writing, and then a young internet entrepreneur friend of mine used it to help launch an internet company and convinced me that I had to put this creative process out there for everybody. And because I came up with this thing at the time that I was writing the MacGyver pilot, I decided to call it The MacGyver Secret. And really, the short version is, the secret is simply this, that inside of everyone, inside of you, there is a MacGyver ready and willing to jump in and help you solve problems in a better way. And in 3 simple steps in this book, I can teach you how to tap into your inner MacGyver to solve any kind of problem, a technical problem, an entrepreneurial problem, a personal problem, a professional problem, you name it. Any kind of problem, and all you need, believe it or not, is a pen and a piece of paper. That's it. You have enormous resources inside you that you're generally not using, and using the MacGyver Secret, you can tap into those resources anytime you want to solve any kind of problem.
Why generally don't we use those resources if they're inbred in us?
Because it's not the way we're taught to solve problems. Basically, what I call your inner MacGyver, you could also call your higher self or your subconscious or your preconscious, or Albert Einstein calls it the intuitive mind as opposed to the rational mind. It doesn't much matter what you call it, Simon. The fact is, we all have this enormous resource, but we're taught to only use our conscious mind to solve problems because that's the way our school system has been set up. And the fact is, your conscious mind, or what I call the hamster wheel in your head of thoughts that sort of starts when you wake up and continues until you go to sleep, that's good for identifying problems, and it's good for evaluating answers, but it's really not very good at coming up with good solutions. That's really what your inner MacGyver or your subconscious is for, but we are generally not taught to solve problems that way, and so consequently, we're rarely using that. But some people do it intuitively where they go, well, I have a problem and I put it aside and I go for a walk, or I'm taking a shower and I'm driving and suddenly the answer comes to me. That's what I'm talking about. And the fact is, though, you can do that and find that answer anytime you want by using the MacGyver Secret. So it's there all the time. It's just a question of learning to develop it the way you would learn to develop any simple skill.
Mm-hmm. Did you, in putting this book together, talk to a lot of neuroscientists about what they've been coming up with the last couple of years? We've had a tremendous amount of research into brain science, where we're now starting to hear about how certain brain patterns empower people and how certain brain patterns of the I can't do this, I'll never do this variety also impact people.
Right. So as a matter of fact, the co-author of this book is Colleen Seifert, who is a PhD from Yale University in psychology. Her specialty is cognitive science. She's now the Arthur F. Thalman Chair at the University of Michigan Psychology Department. And she's been working with me over the past 4 years. We've been running workshops and studies to get, you know, basically background information for the book. And she, in fact, has written all the science pieces in the book. So I give a piece of instruction. There's usually a story from somebody who's been using this for years, and then there's a piece of science that explains why it works. And Colleen has written all those science pieces for the book. So the book is by myself and Colleen Seifert.
And by the way, if you want to know more about that book, which is now out and available on Amazon, other places as well, you can order online. Let me give you, we'll give you the website again before we go, but let me give you the website right now, which is MacGyverAnswer.com. MacGyverSecret.com.
And if your listeners are interested, from now until the end of November, so I guess 9 more days, you can get the Kindle version from Amazon for just $2.99. We're running a special. We had a giveaway last weekend to launch the book where it was free all weekend on Kindle. Now you can get the Kindle for $2.99 until December 1st. You can buy the paperback there. You can get free downloads of the Quick Start Guide and a mini video course on the MacGyverSecret.com website, and you can also purchase the book there if you want.
And again, that's MacGyverSecret.com. And incidentally, next week on our Classic Trivia Question feature, we're going to offer a copy of the MacGyver Secret as one of our prizes. So stay tuned for that next week when we do the Classic Trivia Question. And our Classic Trivia this week, by the way, will come up in a little bit. Lee, last time we had you on this program, you were involved in a project you mentioned earlier, The Next MacGyver. And the idea was to come up with writers, producers who could do a series about a female engineer. Google was part of the project. We had you from Google, I believe one of the winners. There were several winners that were mentioned who won the prize. What's happened since? This is about 2 years ago.
So there were 2,000 initial submissions, which we narrowed down to 12 finalists. We brought them to Los Angeles, had an event. They pitched in front of our, you know, producers and panel of judges. That was reduced to a total of 5 winners, each of whom got $5,000 and was then paired with a high-level production company or television producer. Of those 5, only one has kind of bit the dust. The other 4 are now in active development. 3 are at networks under consideration, and 1 is finalizing the details of their rewrite. So I would say that we're definitely in the hunt. We're keeping our fingers crossed and hoping at least one of these shows makes it all the way onto the air. So it's going well. The producers who have worked with the winners of the contest are very excited about their scripts and are obviously using their connections to see if we can't get one of these shows on the air to encourage young women to go into engineering and sciences.
Good deal. And by the way, as we said before 2 years ago, if any of them do make the air, we will have the creator on this program. So along with you, Lee. So we got a date for that, for sure.
Absolutely.
MacGyver, the new series, is on CBS Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and we've got the creator of the series, Lee Zoltov. He is joining us live from Santa Fe, New Mexico. His new book is The MacGyver Secret. It is available now through Amazon, online, and other means as well. And he is with us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum on the other end of the U.S. of A. That's New York. 41 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Lee, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up for our next half hour, we're going live to L.A., and we're going to have the TV thoughts of one of the top radio personalities. He wakes people up every morning on KABC AM 790, Doug McIntyre. He's also got some experience in television, too. We'll get his thoughts about what that contributed to his feeling about the medium. Doug McIntyre from KABC AM Radio LA. He is with us live next half hour right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Once again, this is the first of 3 episodes we are doing this week. We're back with you tomorrow and Wednesday for 90 editions. And coming up on our pre-Thanksgiving Day episode, we will have the producer of Nat Geo Wild's new miniseries that premieres over Thanksgiving weekend. It's called Savage Kingdom. We've got Harry Marshall aboard. Also, we'll have the director of what may be the most unusual special premiering this Thanksgiving season. It's called Chicken People. I'm not kidding. Chicken People. It's a special on CNT, and we've got the director, Nicole Hines. And finally, we will have the producer, director, and writer of a new special coming Thanksgiving night on BYU TV. That's Brigham Young University Television. Still the only College University with the National Television Network. It's called Winter Thaw. It's based on a famous story called Martin the Cobbler by Leo Tolstoy. Consider it Mr. T's version of a Christmas carol. And we will have the producer, writer, and director. The producer being Russ Kendall, the writer being Joseph Clay, and the director being Adam Eggard. We'll have them all Wednesday, 9th edition of our show, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, here on Tavavi Televised. Now, I understand from the lead that in addition to the series, you've got a movie that I believe Lionsgate is working on. How's that coming along?
That's actually coming along great. We're hoping to start pre-production in the first quarter of next year. So there's constant and feverish work going on the script right now. And come early part of next year, we'll start talking cast so that hopefully they can pull the trigger sometime by the second quarter of next year. And they're very excited about doing the movie. Obviously, the success of the TV show has just reinforced their enthusiasm for the project. So I'm really excited to see that come down the turnpike as well.
When you are adapting a TV series for a movie, what do you keep in front of your mind?
Well, what you want to do, on the one hand, is maintain the essence or the core qualities of the character, MacGyver, because obviously that's what made the show initially such a success. But at the same time, you want to, you know, both update it and sort of have a slightly fresh and original take on it. So it's kind of the classic challenge of how much do you reach back and connect with the old, and how much do you reach forward and bring something to the new. But, you know, there have been great reboots of, like, you know, the Star Trek series and obviously a lot of the superhero characters. So this is something that Hollywood, I think, has gotten fairly experienced at doing. More often than not, they work pretty well. Sometimes they miss, but usually I think if you stick to the core elements of the character that people loved in the first place, you've got a pretty good shot of coming out with a great movie and ideally a great franchise. You know, MacGyver ran for seven years initially all over the world. It's never been off the air in 30 years. So you're talking about an audience of, at this point, billions of people. And, you know, not unlike James Bond, for instance, I think MacGyver could be this series of movies that just keeps on going. So obviously I think Lionsgate shares that enthusiasm, and we'll see what happens.
Does the success of this reboot encourage you to try new projects to maybe develop, hey, maybe I have another new series in me to at some point make happen?
Absolutely. There's a project that I'm working on now, which is actually going to be produced and set in Santa Fe, and we're just getting ready to gear up and take that to the networks. It's called Land of Enchantment, and we're associated at the moment with Morgan Freeman's company, Revelations, that does Madam Secretary. They're very excited about the project, but we're just at the very beginning stages of that. So, yes, I have at least another TV show hopefully in me, and there's going to be another set of MacGyver projects, obviously, that follow up on the book and the TV series and the feature film. But, you know, those will be down the line because you don't want to have too many things going simultaneously. So we'll just kind of stack them up. But I'm looking at a new series of MacGyver fiction books. There are some new MacGyver characters I'd like to introduce. And, you know, believe it or not, we're working on a MacGyver musical. So there's lots of fun things in the pipeline.
Good luck on that. By the way, you're not the only one trying to take a TV series into a musical form. We had Peter Engel, the executive of Saved by the Bell, a few weeks ago, and he's working on his own Broadway version of that creation.
Well, there you go. So, yep.
So maybe we'll have a trend here. Maybe we'll have a trend here, and you and Peter can get together and, like, make both projects happen. That'd be fantastic. MacGyver, the new CBS version is on Friday night, including this Friday night, I believe, 8 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time. Check your local to the CBS station in your area. Most stations will play it at that time, 8 p.m. Eastern or Pacific. And if you want more details about the show online, cbs.com. And the new book is out, The MacGyver's Secret, and it's available from Amazon.com, other booksellers as well, both online and in the flesh. And if you want more details about the book, is when you go online, MacGyverSecret.com. That's MacGyverSecret.com. It's a great, great read. And once again, we will offer a copy of that book next week as one of our prizes in our classic trivia question of the week. Lisa Olsen, it's a pleasure to have you on again. Congratulations on the new MacGyver, and hopefully the film and the musical and everything else to follow will be great. And a very, very, from all of us at Blog Talk Radio, a very, very happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and your friends.
Thanks, Simon. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Take care.
You too. All the greatest. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Lee Zoltoff, creator of MacGyver, joining us live from San Fran, Mexico. And, of course, the Thanksgiving greeting also to Peter and all the gang who make MacGyver happen on CBS. Our contributing question this week will be happening for you after a message from the fine people at Audible.com. James Patterson is one big novelist with an interesting TV agenda shaping up. He is, of course, the creator of Zoo, which is on. Will be back for a third summer on CBS in 2017. He's got an investigation discovery project happening as well. And he just came out with his latest book, number 24, in the Alex Cross series of mystery thrillers, and it is called, believe it or not, Cross the Line. Pretty simple. Well, you don't have to wait to go to a bookstore and pick it up. You can pick it up right now with a trial subscription to Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is a major force in spoken audio entertainment and information. It's all digital, 180,000 titles plus to choose from, every single category represented you can think of under the sun and then some. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, through Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. So what do you pick? The wonderful new James Patterson book, namely Cross the Line. By the way, some of his other books are also available at audible.com, too, with some terrific narrators in play. Or anything dealing with, oh, science, like a MacGyver kind of thing, like MacGyver's Secret. I have a hunch that will be an audiobook from audible.com soon. You can count on this. Whatever you book you get, it comes to you great, and it comes with that 30-day free trial and wonderful customer service because Audible is an Amazon.com company. So check out this website. Make something happen. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. And get into the wonderful audio world of audiobooks. It's inspirational, informative, entertaining, and it's the kind of gift that lasts a lifetime. By the way, with Thanksgiving, of course, this week and holiday season coming up, a trial subscription to Audible.com is a great gift for you or maybe for others. So check it out. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. The wonderful world of audio available to you digitally 24/7 from Audible.com. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you know the answer and you can get it to us over the course of the next few days, you can win not one but two prizes. I was saved by the bell by the executive producer of that series, mentioned a moment ago, Peter Engel, and Twin Peaks FAQ. Here's the question. It's a fill-in-the-blank question. In the 1950s, there was a TV series that ran a year and a half on ABC starring Charles Bronson. Yes, Charles Bronson before he became a big action movie star. And we want you to complete the name of that series. Here it is. Man with a blank. Man with a blank. 1950s television series ran a year and a half on ABC starring Charles Bronson. We can't give you what he played because that would give you a big hint for that blank. So once again, complete the name of this 1950s series starring Charles Bronson, Man with a Blank. Man with a Blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't be afraid to close your name and include your full mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer before the week is out, you will win I Was Saved by the Bell by Peter Engel and Twin Peaks FAQ, the wonderful look at the classic 1990s ABC mystery series that's coming back next year on Showtime, created by Mark Frost and David Lynch. They'll write all the episodes of the reboot, and Lynch will direct all the episodes. Colin Bach and many of the original cast members will be back in the new Showtime version. And again, you can get both Twin Peaks FAQ and I Was Saved by the Bell as our prizes this week for the classic trivia question. So again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. You can also tweet the answer by using hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. Twitter option made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at www.hopscotch.com. www.hopscotch.com. And if you just joined us and missed the question, no problem. We will have it for you tomorrow, also on our program. And We will also put it in tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. As we like to say around here, in order to win, you got to be in. So be in and win. When we come back, live from Los Angeles, one of the top morning radio personalities there, host Doug McIntyre, has a lot to say about where TV's network is going, and we'll hear him after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are listening to the best internet radio in the universe, www.blogtalkradio.com, for the 25 million listeners around the globe every month and growing. It's your home for Booth Talk from the After Hours Diner. You never know what's going to pop up there, and you can hear it Thursdays various times, Booth Talk, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow's Televised on this first day of Thanksgiving week 2016. Simon Applebaum here with you along for the ride. And along with everybody here at Blog Talk Radio, we wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving and a terrific part of your holiday season to you and yours. Happy you are with us. That's the three episodes we're doing this week. We are back tomorrow and Wednesday for 90-minute editions each day at this very same hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. Our next guest coming up shortly from L.A. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room remains in effect. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our very good friend Rick Brett from Philadelphia is already in the room. So use that phone, use that room. We will hear you either way. And again, while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. That feature is available when you click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Then follow the instructions, write to the letter, and you can get other people to connect with you. Again, we are with you tomorrow and Wednesday at this hour. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we kick it off with the executive producer of the new Pop Network hit, Nightcap, with Allie Wentworth as one of the people in the journey world of late-night television. Executive producer Brad Wallach will be our lead guest. Then we'll have the founder and host of an interesting venture called Tech Tango Today. She talks about apps and all sorts of technology to local news stations every day through the field of syndication. And she may be coming soon to a station near you. We're talking about Francie Black. And finally, from the Hallmark Hall of Fame special coming up this Thanksgiving weekend called A Heavenly Christmas, starring Kristen Davis from Sex and the City, Eric McCormick from Will and Grace, and the wonderful Shirley MacLaine. We'll have executive producers Jack Rothbard and Linda Kent. That's all tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. And now joining us live from the city of Hollywood, Los Angeles, California, it is a pleasure to welcome to this program for the very first time the morning radio host of ABC, KABC AM 790, Doug McIntyre. Hi, Doug. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
How you doing, Simon?
Very fine, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving week to you and your listeners. What's your thoughts right now about where TV's at?
Well, TV's all over the place, and it's a pretty good place to be all over because I think that it's universally held that television right now is doing the finest work in the history of the medium, and it's consistently doing better work than the motion picture industry.
Do you see that everybody is like trying to raise the creative bar on each other, whether it's HBO on Netflix and Netflix on Hulu and Hulu on Crackle and Crackle on ABC and ABC on Showtime, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, they are. I mean, films are shot now. I mean, television shows are shot like features. Kind of going back, I remember for me, there were a couple of landmark shows in terms of production, the look. Miami Vice was one, and X-Files was another, where all of a sudden the cinematography, they were just shot beautifully. And it certainly is a big change from those days of 1970s, early 1980s TV when you shot day for night, or everything was bright. If you were a network show, you put every light in the light kit on the set, and everything was lit up like Times Square on New Year's Eve. So now, if anything, we've kind of swung to the other side where we're feasting on gritty realism to the point where you're really kind of starved for just a show about a normal human being. But the production values are beautiful, and the level of writing and the character arcs that go across multiple episodes is very, very sophisticated storytelling, and some of the work is really superb.
And a lot of it is very cinematic, and the people doing the cinematography are taking, particularly on dramas, are taking very big chances. You look at a show like Mr. Robot on USA Network with Sam Esmail, and the idea of the character on one side of the screen with the backdrop, you know, embracing everything. Or have you seen Eyewitness, which USA is now running on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock? I think David Green, the cinematographer of that program, is doing some extraordinary things. A lot of scenes shot on black and white, some shot with very muted color, some that have very bright color, some that sort of mix all the mediums up. You never know, like, what scene you're going to see in that program.
Well, a show that I just fell into called Gladiator was with Billy Bob Thornton, David Kelly show, limited run series. Absolutely beautifully shot. A lot of it shot with drones. You can kiss, you know, everybody, when we were on set back in my sitcom years and used to dream of getting the money and the budget for a crane shot. And now who needs a crane when you can put an HD camera on a drone and fly it over your location and you get these beautiful aerial shots that are just sensational, and they open up really a third dimension. So there's really no excuse because of the technological revolution that allows people to do amazing things in HD. The lights are LED. They're so much simpler. They don't burn up people. They're easy to move. There's really no excuse for it looking bad. So it still comes down to what story you're telling, how good is the writing, and how good is the casting.
What do you think about the fact that so many people now coming into television from independent film, from writing books, from writing plays, are now not only getting the chance to create a show, but also to run the show? It's sort of become an auteur medium where you can come in from other mediums and not just, as I said, create the show, but write it, produce it the way you want, with not as much censorship as there used to be, and it comes out as your creation, and it's like you live or die by what you do.
Well, there's a, you know, obviously there's so many, there's so much more room for the auteur to break through in television than there used to be in the old days when you had three networks, and then of course the Fox network joined, and you had a fourth network. These slots were very valuable, and there was a lot riding on them, and there was much bigger audiences, by the way. I worked on a series called You Again with Jack Klugman and John Stamos. This is right before Full House on NBC. We did 26 half hours. This is 1986. We got canceled with a 19 share. Can you imagine if you had a 19 share today, they renamed Wilshire Boulevard after you. So the audiences, there is no broadcasting with rare exception. It's really micro audiences. So you can take a shot with an auteur and let some independent filmmaker or playwright create something and run the whole show. But for the most part, I have to say that you can't get away with that when you're doing a series that's going to run for years, because the bottom line is that it does take some experience to figure out how to break multiple stories. If you've got a limited run series of ten episodes, that might be all the storytelling that person has on those characters. But if, you know, when you're getting to a show like Happy Days, you're going to do 269 episodes. That's how you end up jumping the shark. But at some point, you just run out of stories. You end up adding to the cast. We used to call it breeding for plots. You keep having Joni and Chachi will start having babies so that you can have somebody to write about. There's no more Fonzie stories left.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about television to your listeners in the mornings on KABC, what do they think about this meeting? What do they think about this new galaxy of plenty, all these scripted television shows that they can watch anytime?
Well, I think people like it. They find what they like. And a lot of people, it's amazing how many people still say there's nothing on television, when in reality, it might not be on television. It might be on Hulu. It might be on Amazon. But the bottom line is, if you want to watch entertainment products, there's a plethora. There's just an avalanche of material. There's so much material, frankly, that even people in the industry don't know what's on television anymore. There were 409 scripted series last year. And this is a problem of cultural overload. There's just too much product in the market. And by that, I don't mean that there should be some kind of show business umpire saying, get rid of that, get rid of this. I'm just saying we don't have cultural cohesion anymore. If the Beatles came along today, and I'm hardly the first person to make this observation, but if the Beatles came along today, they couldn't be the Beatles. They'd be talented, they'd be successful, but they couldn't be the cultural phenomenon that they were, because when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, the entire nation saw them. Well, the entire nation doesn't see anything anymore. Even the Super Bowl doesn't have a fraction of the audience of what one episode of the Beverly Hillbillies had on a Tuesday night in 1962.
Doug McIntyre does his thing weekday mornings from 5 to 10 a.m. Pacific time on 790 KABC in L.A. And we have him live with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Applebaum, we live from the other end of the country, the web of New York, 41 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard for the program All About Television, now in our 10th year on the air. You have a question or comment for Doug, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Wednesday on our special pre-Thanksgiving edition of the program, we will have the producer of the new Nat Geo Wild miniseries, Savage Kingdom, which begins over Thanksgiving weekend, Harry Marshall. Then, we will have the director of what may be the most unusual special you'll find on Thanksgiving weekend. It's called, get this, Chicken People. It's on CMT, not Turkey People, Chicken People. And we've got the director of this special, Nicole Haynes. And finally, Brigham Young University remains the only university in the country that has its own national television network. And every Thanksgiving, they do something special. This Thanksgiving night, they are. It's a dramatic hour called Winter's Ball. It's based on a famous story by Leo Tolstoy called Martin the Cobbler. It features the wonderful actor John Rhys Davies. And we will have, on Wednesday, the producer, the writer, and the director. We're talking about producer Russ Kendall, the writer Joseph Clay, and the director Alex Argyle. We'll have them all Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. So you work in comedy like you again, I believe all through WKRP in Cincinnati. When you see a show like Atlanta, you see a show like Orange the New Black, that goes, or Louis C.K., that goes beyond comedy and is now either called dramedy or it's a kind of show that's, you can't even classify it. What would go through your mind?
Well, I mean, again, there's that there doesn't have to be strict parameters and say this fits into this category and that fits into that category. I think the best drama has laughs and the best comedy has human emotion attached to it. That's what makes something jump from really what makes something immortal is if you can do both. If you can make people laugh as well as think and feel and cry, then you've got a hell of a story. And it's the same thing if you can do it in comedy. I always thought that comedy got sold short because the really enduring comedies have some heart attached to them. So I mean I'm fine with that. I mean, the traditional sitcom that I started in was kind of written off as a dead medium, but it's sort of had a resurgence over the last couple of years. So I think that will survive, but the form of the sitcom, of the four-camera proscenium sitcom done either block and tape or in front of a live audience, was really sort of this hybrid of film and stage. It was, you had more angles than stage. You know, in stage, you only have the master. Everything's in a wide angle, and you create your close-ups by blocking and lighting. But obviously, television sitcoms could do a little bit more than that, but they couldn't do as much as film. But now even that's blown up. Now the big-budget shows will go outside. They'll shoot second unit. They'll go on location. They'll do all kinds of things. So it really just comes down to what story you're telling and how well do you pull it off. I mean, the formats don't necessarily matter anymore. Audiences are open to new things. I do notice a difference in taste, however. I think that younger audiences today are not as joke-oriented as my generation was. I mean, having grown up on, you know, the Dick Van Dyke Show and things like that, where funny people, the characters were professionally funny. They were comedy writers. So they had permission to crack wise, as opposed to, like, every wiseacre kid in some domestic sitcom seemed to be the one with all the funny lines, and dad was like the sort of benign goofus who didn't really know very much. Those kinds of shows are harder to sell today because I think that the audience, especially younger audiences, are more interested in irony, observation, but irony in particular, more than jokes.
Mm-hmm. Netflix, what do people, creative people, executive people in in Los Angeles think about what they're up to and their aim, at least in public, to become the world's biggest original programmer?
Well, you know, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that question because I've never really had any interaction with Netflix except to ask them, you know, why my account was suspended. So I can't really answer that one for you. I've never quite understood global domination as a point of view, as an aspiration anyway. You know, just being able to make quality product and have that, I mean, people want to be content providers. I think that the whole rise of Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, et cetera, is just a further nail in the coffin of the traditional brick-and-mortar television networks because you don't need to have affiliate stations in 265 cities in order to be a network anymore. You just simply need a memorable URL and a lot of servers in order to get your product uploaded and downloaded. So you can, you know, the whole traditional infrastructure of pilot season, of, you know, upfronts for network sales, all those things they're not totally gone, but they don't have anywhere near the impact in the industry that they had 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But one of the fascinating things, Doug, about Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, what I call next generation programming services, is people are watching them on the television set because they have smart TVs, because they have smart devices like Roku and Google Chromecast and Apple TV and so forth. And that's how they're watching the programs. And one would wonder if there weren't smart TV sets from a Samsung or a Vizio or LG around, not to mention the millions that are using these smart devices, the plug-in you put in the set or the streaming stick or whatever, how much weight Netflix, Hulu, et cetera, would have on people.
Well, yeah, I don't know how to respond to that, Simon, because we do have those things, and you know, the medium is the message. Well, maybe the delivery system is the message. It makes stuff possible that would be impossible. I think that what really changed the game was HBO and Showtime, because they could they could show sex scenes, they could show violence, they could use the language, and you know. It's just another number on people's cable box for those who haven't cut the cable yet. You talk to a 22-year-old, and they don't know from ABC, NBC, and CBS. It's just another number on the box, and they don't think they make distinctions between the traditional broadcast networks and the premium channels or the basic cable channels or anything else. And that's one of the problems that the networks have had, is that they've had their hands tied by these archaic FCC regulations on what's acceptable broadcast content when nobody's broadcasting anymore. Everybody's narrowcasting, and essentially it's just coming through the same cable channel where you've got people bopping each other in total nudity on Game of Thrones, and you've got, you know, people being rubbed out in graphic form in The Sopranos or whatever. So the networks were really trying to compete with one hand tied behind their back. And over time, they obviously, standards and practices has loosened up significantly what's allowable on network television, but they still don't have the same freedom that you have on premium channels.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and when it comes to, you know, Netflix or Hulu or something like that, they can do whatever they want.
Is it surprising you, Doug, turning to another subject, that award shows, Oscars on down, are losing ratings? We just had the American Movie Music Awards last night, and they were down 30%, from what I understand.
Well there's too many. There's too many award shows. And you know, talk about jumping the shark, that old Happy Days reference. You know, it jumped the shark years ago when the Emmy for Best Award Show would go to the Academy Awards, I mean, broadcast. They start giving, you know, awards to award shows. They should have the awardees, you know, and just do nothing but give out awards. So award shows, there's so many of them. But it goes back to the point I made earlier. When you've got 409 scripted series plus reality plus all the other stuff, the people in the industry are not familiar with the product in their own industry, and there's no way you could. There's not enough hours in the day to watch all this stuff. So what happens is you end up seeing, you know, the same 8 shows win every award for 12 years. You know, it just gets into a rut. And the truth is that they don't like to talk about this, but the reality is that for a lot of these award shows, the people voting on them haven't even watched the product. They haven't even seen half the things that they're voting on. They're supposed to, but they don't. Who's got time to do this? Who's got time to sit down and watch all these things?
a very big thing for both of us, because there's like so much, as you said, so much stuff on, and only 24 hours in that day. Some of which, by the way, Doug McIntyre spends on the radio on wonderful 790 KGCM in Los Angeles. Check him out. He's wonderful to listen to, and he's on from 5 to 10 a.m. Pacific time in that area. McIntyre in the Morning is the name of the show. And he is with us live this half hour for the very first time on Tamavi Televised, and I hope we'll be back, because he is dynamite. If you have a question or comment, get it in soon, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. I've always wanted to ask somebody in L.A. this, because I watch the Academy Awards every year. And it's amazing to me that it is the one award show of the bunch, the majors, the Grammys, the Tonys, the Emmys, where you have to wait until midnight to see who wins the best picture. Do the Academy people ever listen to the crowd that says, hey, start the show at 8 o'clock, not 8:30, end the show at 11, cut out some of the minor categories, maybe just use, let's say, things like cinematography, special effects, film editing, and everything else you, in terms of the technical categories, put them on and do a 5-minute recap the way the other award shows do, and let's get this thing ended so we all go to bed knowing who won the major awards.
I don't know. I think they should add more categories. I think stunt coordinators should be given Academy Awards. I think casting directors should be given Academy Awards. All of those categories exist for a reason, because that's what makes movies. And the problem with ratings for the Academy Awards is that the films that are getting nominated tend to be small art films, character-driven. They're not always necessarily gigantic blockbuster films. When Titanic was nominated, there were huge audiences because huge numbers of people had gone to see it. But if you nominate a tiny little dramatic piece that only a handful of people saw, you're not going to have a great deal of audience attraction. And the other issue, too, is that I think that the Academy Awards is perceived, again, by younger audiences as the old folks, award ceremony. It's steeped in the history of the motion picture industry, and young people are not that interested in history, frankly. That's why you have the VH1 Awards, you have the People's Choice Awards, you have all of these other things. But should it start earlier? Sure. I don't know why they don't just take it live. It starts in L.A. at 5 o'clock. Why don't you take it earlier? Start it at 2 in the afternoon. I don't care. I have the same complaint about Major League Baseball. The World Series games on school nights are ending at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, hey, three-quarters of the country couldn't stay awake to watch the end of the Cubs-Cleveland Indians series, which is a fantastic series. But you can't see the ending of it if it ends that late. So, but that's they're being slaves to the TV market. They think that they'll get it in prime time in all the big cities, and that's what they're more interested in than whether or not anybody actually stays up to the end.
Hallelujah, what you just said, Doug. We have a call. Hello, you on Tamavi Televised? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Rick. Good to hear you. Go ahead and talk with Doug.
Hey, Doug. You just mentioned that no one, like no band or no TV show, will ever reach critical mass again in, I guess, the world, like the Beatles did, or like MASH, or, certain events in the past. But just theoretically, is a way that something could reach critical mass?
Yeah, well, I think breaking news events, 9/11 coverage reached critical mass. I think that there are breaking events of tremendous magnitude that can reach critical mass, and there are certainly still shows. The Super Bowl still gets an enormous audience. It's become a de facto national holiday. But because we're so segmented in taste, I mean, look at how many different categories of music there are, to the point that the Grammys spun off the Latin Grammys. They give out Grammys to polka records. So if you're into polka music now, there are satellite radio stations or online. You can listen to 24-hour polka music, any kind you want. You like klezmer jazz from Eastern Europe? Knock yourself out 24/7. So The problem is that there just isn't a massive audience. You know, not even for terrestrial radio, which I work in on a daily basis. I'm on a podcast right now. We're talking on Simon's fine podcast. Well, that's competition that didn't exist 15 years ago, didn't exist 12 years ago. So anything that is the cell phone alone in the car is competition for morning drive. You got people in the car who are making their early calls for business. They're checking on the kids because they forgot their homework or they forgot their lunch at home. Anything, if anything that is a communication device is competition for the audience's eyes and ears. So, yes, there are ways that the medium can still dominate the culture and be the centerpiece of the culture, but not the way it was when there were very few choices, and if you're going to watch entertainment medium, you're going to see what they put on.
Cool. Well, thank you for your insight, Doug, and I hope you do get back into writing sitcoms and stuff as well.
Oh, well, I never stop writing, so that's fundamentally, I see myself as a writer first and foremost. The radio kind of grew out of that.
Cool. Well, thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
I appreciate the call. You too, sir. It's all storytelling, Simon. Doesn't matter what you do. A painter is a storyteller. A painter is telling a story on canvas, and I don't care if you're television, film, poet, dancer. If it's going to resonate, it has to tell some kind of a message. It has to have a message. It has to communicate some kind of a story. And that's why all of the discussion about technology, whether it's delivery system, whether we see it online or we see it in our phone or we watch it on a big screen or we get it in virtual reality, the bottom line, whether it's a video game or it's an interpretive dance, the bottom line is it's a story that has to be told, and it still comes down to the writer and it still comes down to the creator of what story, whose story are you telling, and how well do you tell it.
And before we wrap up, Doug, with about more than a month to go, who do you think has told the best story this year in terms of a new series this year, your favorite new series?
Well, I was really taken with Gladiator, but I have, to be perfectly honest, I rarely get to watch any television. And I'm not saying that as one of those people say I only watch PBS, but just the simple reality is that I watch very, very few scripted shows at this point in life, because between my work and my writing that I still there write a weekly column for the LA Daily News, and I'm working on a bunch of television and film projects, so there just isn't a lot of time for watching stuff, but I am married to an actress, Penny Pfizer, and she stays current on shows, so I kind of I get it sort of vicariously through her. As she tries to stay up on the shows, Mr. Robot is one that has caught my attention as being very interesting. But Gladiator in particular really struck me, the Billy Bob Thornton series. I thought that the writing and the acting in that was just sensational, and the production, all of it, the whole package.
And that's on Amazon, by the way. It was from David E. Kelley, Larry Lauren, Boston Legal, excuse me, a whole bunch of practice, a bunch of other shows, too. It's great to see him back on television. Doug McIntyre, you can catch him in the LA area, 5 to 10 a.m. Pacific time, every morning, weekdays, on 790 KBC AM. And if you want more details about what he does as well, including his columns for the Los Angeles Daily News, give us his website. Go online for this, DougMcIntyre.com. It's DougMcIntyre.com. Doug, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Let's do this again before the end of the year. And all the best and wonderful Thanksgiving to all of you, to all you and your listeners from all of us.
It was a pleasure, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Doug. Anytime. Take care. All the greatest. Doug McIntyre from KABC AM LA 790, joining us live from LA. Remember, we're back tomorrow with a 90-day edition for you, and on that program will be from Nightcap executive producer Brent Wallach, from Tech Tango Today, the founder and host Francie Black, and from the Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation this Thanksgiving weekend of A Heavenly Christmas, executive producers Jack Rosebart and Linda Kent. We get underway 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. If you missed part of today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com. If you have Apple TV 2.0, the iTunes podcast app, available 24/7. We love hearing from you. What do you think about today's program? What are your thoughts on television, where it's at, where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. The views expressed in this program are those other participants. Not as those of Block Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams, and he chose Block Talk Radio's general manager. Tomorrow's Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But Tomorrow's Televised, I am Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Thanksgiving week Monday. Back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You're there. Block Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.